But more than that, anything that you hear that is taught, anything that I teach, that you have questions about, that you disagree about, I want you to let me know. And you'll be my dear friend if you'll do that. And we'll discuss it. We'll go to God's Word. We'll look at it. And we'll come to an understanding. And the reason I ask for that is that I don't preach from the standpoint of pride. I want to go to heaven. And so if I'm teaching that which is wrong, I want to be corrected. I want to be corrected. I'm going to say something, and it may shock you, but each and every one of you need to know this. Today I'm coming out. And not only that, I urge you to come out. And just think about that statement and just how we've been manipulated in our minds over the years. Because I used to go to friends' houses and knock on the door and I'd say, "Can Jimmy come out?" And of course what I meant by that, come out and play. And it, just like many terms in this world today where we used innocent terminology, it's been twisted. And even icons that are presented to us in Scripture, such as the rainbow, has been made a mockery. Now, I'm still going to come out. And I want you to come out, but come out to the right way. There'll be some things that we talk about which you may have questions about, and I understand that. But it's something that needs to be said in this time that we are living in today. When we look in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and in verse 2, Paul instructed Timothy, preach the word. I could stand up here and talk to you about social justice and all that goes along with social injustice and so forth today, as far as the political scene is concerned and as far as our world is concerned, that wouldn't be preaching the word. I could give you my thoughts and viewpoints on each one of those aspects without presenting any scripture, that wouldn't be preaching the word. And in today's world, as we're going to be seeing, there are those that are ready to listen to God's Word, to preach to them when it is in season, when they want to hear God's Word, and when it's out of season, when they don't want to hear God's Word. And we'll talk about that a little bit also. But the job of an evangelist, the job of a preacher, is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And here's the reason why, as Paul describes and explains it to Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. And they'll be turned away from the truth unto fables. And I'll tell you, we're living in those times today. We're living in a time of deplorable circumstances in our day today. And I want to point some of those out, not in connection with the political scene and just making a political statement. That's not the point in this. But rather about what God's Word has to say. First of all, starting with immodesty. You know, I do a lot of research when I get my sermons together, and I'll go to the internet. And as I go to the internet, of course, I have breaking news that comes across my computer screen. And invariably, I'll see terms such as this. So-and-so shows off his amazing six-pack. So-and-so, which of these have the biggest biceps in Hollywood? So-and-so is daring in a barely there outfit. So-and-so is stunning in topless swimwear. So-and-so strips down to a lacy bra while wearing vampire fangs, which I don't understand the correlation there. But they all follow the same line and the same thought. And that is exaltation of the body. And not only exaltation of the body, but also exaltation of the human. And especially that which is outward. When we think about this and go back to Luke the 11th chapter and verse 40, Jesus said, "Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?" And what we see throughout Scripture is the teaching about the inside. And I'm talking about the soul of man, the heart of man. And what should be the desire of each and every one of us, that we should follow God because we are made after his own image. And you go back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verses 4 and 5, and also look at Genesis 6 and verse 4, and you see the beginnings of idolatry taking place even at the beginning when Satan lied to Eve and said to her, "You will not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat, thereof, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. The exaltation of the human. The exaltation of that which is outside rather than going to that which is inside that we see through Scripture, because the teaching that we have from God's Word is the concepts of how we are to live inside, and the expression of living inside will be seen forth then in our outside. We'll talk more about that as we go through the lesson. And go back then, of course, just before the flood in Genesis, the 6th chapter in verse 4. There were mighty men who were of old, men of renown, that became gods to people. That's gods with a little g. And all of that, that's real. Really, it ties in with this immodesty that is rampant in our world today. Just how much can I show? I want to outdo whoever else has shown some. I want to show more and outdo them. It's about pride of the body rather than pride. And the proper pride and respect of the soul has been given to us by God. Wokeness. As described in the world today, woke has evolved into a single word summation centered on social justice politics and critical race theory. It means wanting to be considered correct and wanting everyone to know just how correct you are. And you think about that in connection with the human wisdom, and Paul made this statement because this wokeness thought that is out there today is one that is being ascribed that all individuals need to be woke, aware of all the social injustices that take place in this world. But they have their own agenda in connection with that and their own thoughts about what wokeness should be and what the awareness should be. And when we look in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 12, I want to use the principle that Paul uses here. And he says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And the reason being is that they're looking out horizontally to other human beings and their wisdom, their thoughts, their ideas, what they think is right, rather than looking vertically to what God says through His Word. We see also that there is such a thing as cancel culture in the world today. A way of behaving in a society or group, especially on social media, in which it is common to completely reject and stop supporting someone because they have said or done something that offends you. I've said it many times in my sermons that there are those that are looking to get offended. And if one is looking to get offended, they can find a way to get it done. They'll find a way to be offended. And there are those that are hypersensitive to every situation, whether it be their race, whether it be their gender, whatever it is, to where they are looking at having their feelings hurt in order to promote themselves, come to the limelight, and stand out because of the injustice that is being done. Cancel culture has been around for quite some time. You go back to Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verses 9 through 11. And the people of Israel during the day of Isaiah says this. First of all, after Isaiah describes them, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. And then this is what they said. "Who say to the seers, do not see, to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the paths, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." That's cancel culture right there. That's thousands of years ago. And it's not only taking place now, it's been taking place really since the very beginning of time, whenever Satan told Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." He canceled out the true law that came from God when God said, "The day that you eat thereof," that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, "thou shalt surely die." Cancel culture took place at that time. We see in Acts 7, chapter verse 54 through 58, "And when Stephen began to preach the gospel, and these individuals that heard the preaching of the gospel were cut to the heart, and their reaction to that was, they cried with a loud voice," verse 57 from Acts 7, chapter. "They stopped their ears," cancel him out. "They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." That was cancel culture right there taking place. When we go to Acts 23, verse 1 and 2, Paul stands before the Sanhedrin after he is taken captive in Jerusalem. back in Acts, the 21st chapter. And you have him now standing before the Sanhedrin. He says, I've lived in all good conscience unto this day. And the high priest calls for him to be struck across the mouth. Strike him across the mouth. Cancel him out on the things that he has to say. Because he did not want to hear the truth. And I tell you, it's not very far away, because right here in Taylor, yesterday, what took place was in essence tying in to cancel culture. You look at what was described. First of all, there was not a vote by the city council to have happen what happened yesterday, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But also, those that put all of that together in connection with the pride parade that took place, thank you, brother, said that we're going to also hand out earplugs to muffle any of the protesters. We're going to do that. Cancel. We don't want to hear any dissent, because we know that what we are doing is right, it's appropriate, and we need to have pride about it, and we don't want any detractors whatsoever. And you see, that ties in also with some other things. The critical race theory, intellectual movement, and loosely organized framework of legal analysis based on the premise that race is not a natural, biological, grounded feature of physically distinct subgroups. You know what? I agree with that. I agree with that. That part right there. Because whenever you go back and you look in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over all creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. What color were they? It doesn't say. Because the importance there was what God made, and that was the inner part of man, that soul that was there. We don't know what color, and it's neither here nor there, of Adam and Eve's skin. We don't know that. The distinction came about not from natural causes, but because of sin, whenever at the Tower of Babel, they flaunted themselves, held themselves up as really something, that they could reach heaven. Man then was scattered abroad along with the languages that they spoke, and what followed from that then are the different ethnicities and races that we have here upon this earth. When we look at what Paul says to the Athenians in Acts 17 chapter, verse 26, he says that God made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. There's a congregation a little over a mile from here that we have worked for some time hoping that maybe they would come and meet with us. And all of their members have black skin. And as I've said to them before, because they've invited me to preach before, is that I don't know the color of the soul, because there's not a color. And that's what's important. And so if we look at this particular thought with this critical race theory, it's used to oppress and exploit people of color whenever we look at the different races. Well, those things exist. And it's nothing that needs to be apologized for. Brother Al would not ask you to apologize for your skin color. We have others that are here also, and the same thing with you, and neither do those that are off-white. I'm not truly white. I'm off-white. I need to neither to apologize for that, because we look to God's will. We look to God's will. More about this. Exploitation is condemned in Scripture. Exploitation of races is condemned in Scripture. When we look in 1 Samuel 15, 2 through 3, and God gave the commandment, you will destroy the Amalekites, it wasn't because of their nationality. It wasn't because of their skin color. When we look in Joshua, the 23rd chapter, verse 9 through 13, God did not drive out the nations before the Israelites when they came into the promised land because of their skin color or their nationality. He was driving them out because they were going to be a bad influence on his people. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 26 and 28 through 28, Paul says, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. It's not about our outward appearance, our body, our gender, our race, our color. and exploitation of those that use that, of course, are in the wrong because they're not following God's will. There was sin that was committed in the early part of our history in the United States. And we cannot deny that. When we look in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 9 and 10, Paul tells Timothy, "And knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the unruly, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy, the profane, the murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers." Men stealers. And what that is a slave dealer, a kidnapper, a manstealer, of one who unjustly reduces free men to slavery, of one who steals the slaves of other and sells them. And was committed in the United States, and not only, and I know this for a fact because Beverly and I watch Finding Your Roots, and I know that not only white people owned black people in those early days, but there were some black people that owned black people. And it doesn't matter if you're white or black, you own somebody else from the standpoint of being a man stealer. That is against God's will. That's against God's will. I understand at the beginning of our country, there were many people came over that were Caucasian, that were white, that were indentured servants that had to work for their freedom here in the New World. And as you go back under the Mosaic Law, there were those that were enslaved, and at the Jubilee year, they were set free. And so there was bondage. There was indentured servitude, but that is different from the slavery that was taking place here in the United States, where they were men stealers going and kidnapping and capturing men and women from other countries, bringing them here as forced laborers. That is wrong. And we need to understand that.
Amen.
When we get to this point where people begin to focus on race, color of skin, and so forth, with this critical race theory, it will get to the point where there will have to be a call for men to apologize for being male, for people that are heterosexual because they are heterosexual. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. And for taking up air that others could breathe who are deemed worthy by those that set the rules. And what I'm saying by that is that if this is carried out further, and we see, I think, signs of this, there could be deaths. There could be executions for not following after societies, of a very few, society's determination of what is right. And we need to be cautious concerning that and to be prepared. Pride Month, the month of June, is called so-called Pride. When the world's LGBT communities come together and celebrate the freedom to be themselves, Pride gatherings are rooted in the arduous history of minority groups who have struggled for decades to overcome prejudice and be accepted for who they are. Let me tell you what they have done. They've taken the folks that are truly the minorities that were involved years ago in slavery, those that were enslaved, and not rightly so, but enslaved, not by choice, the men stealers that we talked about, and now these groups are trying to put themselves in the same category. Well, I don't know in history, it may have happened, but I don't know in history where there were folks in Africa that saw the ships come to land and they went over there and said, "Would you mind taking me back? I would like to go ahead and be a slave there in the New World." You see, that would have been by choice. What these people are involved in is not a minority group because of anything other than the choice that they make. That is, of their sexuality. And there is no better descriptor to use than pride in connection with them. And what they say is Pride Month and pride for their minority group. They're not a minority group from the standpoint of being enslaved, but from the standpoint of choice. And so we see when we look in Mark the 7th chapter, verses 20 through 23. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within Out of the heart, men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. Stop right there. Fornications is illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, sexual intercourse with close relatives, or incest. When you see that term, it takes in everything that is included within the LGBT group that is flaunting their thoughts and ideas today. He says murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness. The word lewdness means of a bad nature, not such as it ought to be, base, wrong, wicked, troublesome, injurious, pernicious, destructive. And that's their desire. That one group in the LGTB, that G stands for gay, which I will not use, they're homosexuals. Gay was a good word many years ago. It was in songs, it was in everybody's normal vernacular, the way that they talked, and has been turned into a word to try to describe those that have a sexual lifestyle that they have chosen. And I will tell you, they are not happy. They're not gay people whatsoever. But rather, they are miserable people, and I know that from a fact because I have studied with those. Even baptized a man that was homosexual. He went back to it after a couple of years, but unfortunately, he was not happy. Then it goes ahead and says, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. And you look at the word pride, pride, haughtiness, arrogance. The correct word for this group. Correct word for this group, foolishness. The word foolishness means senseless, that is euphemistically egotism, morally recklessness, such as what we are being trained today to do, and that is to reassign the pronouns and stop using he or she, him or her. And for people to identify the way that they want rather than the way that God made them. The seed of this chosen lifestyle is idolatry. And that was the reading that we had this morning by Jacob. Appreciate that, Jacob. That reading. And here is the seed of what is taking place today among this group of homosexuality, transgender, and so forth. It comes from exactly what Paul is talking about to the Romans. People that profess to be wise, they're actually fools. Verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man first, idolizing man. And then not only that, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things created things by God rather than the God himself of heaven. And it says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. You know, because we are free moral agents, we have the right to make choice. God is not going to make us be a puppet. You will do this, you will not do that, and I'm going to make you do it. He's not going to do that. But rather, we have choice. And he says he gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Well, how was that dishonor done? As we see, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions also. It stemmed from idolatry. And he says, therefore, even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. And they did not retain God in their knowledge, even though they knew him. God gave them over to a debased mind, allowed them to have that debased mind, to do those things that are not fitting, that which is not right, and that which is not ordained or authorized by God. And we have this group that is out there today. And we are being infiltrated in mind and in sight by what is on TV, on the internet, by what comes across the radio, by if there's newspapers left anymore, but through the written print of how it be that we should act, we should think, the words that we use, such pronouns that we use in order to describe individuals. And we are being inundated with that, and we are being schooled day in and day out. And someone says, oh, just an old preacher. Another one of those old preachers that are making a cry about what might happen. And of course, he's going off on the deep end, and it can't be. Really. Let me go back to the 1950s, which many of you don't remember. There was a show on TV. It was called The Dick Van Dyke Show. And Dick had a wife called Laura. And every evening they went to bed. They went to bed in separate beds. They weren't in the same bed. That was in the 1950s. Well, is that still true today? You can see almost the actual sex act on network TV, not just cable, but network TV taking place, not in movies, not just in movies, not just in TV shows, but in commercials. Do you think we're not being trained? I'll tell you what, when the first time, and I can't remember the show, the first time where it showed two individuals in bed, by the way, it was male, female. It took a while to get over that also. The first time that it was shown, it was a shock to the nation on national TV, where a man and a woman got into the same bed. It was a shock. Does it bother us? It's normal today, isn't it? We see these things. Do we even think about that? Do we have a disgust for sin? No, I'll tell you what, we've been trained. We have been trained to set up a callousness of what true sin is.
Amen.
And we cannot allow ourselves to have that callousness. We need to get rid of it. I wish that wasn't there. But where we look at that, you see that as we look, thank you. I want to make an explanation of everything that I've said so far to this point. This is not hate speech against people. And part of the reason I'm making this statement is that we have visitors here. I think all of our members understand this. But I want them to know. And not only that, I record these sermons and I put them out on the internet so that it could be heard by who knows who. It could be heard. And I will tell you that there will be some, even with the explanation that I'm about to make, say, well, they are just nothing but hating people. And that preacher, he is nothing, he's just filled with hatred. Let me tell you again, this is not hate speech. And I go to Jude verses 17 through 23. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he told you that they would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Exactly the things that we've been talking about this morning. We're living in those prophesied of times. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. And they do cause division, not only in churches, but also in society. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want you to note there, verse 21 especially. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And here's what we do in keeping ourselves in the love of God. He says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. There's a reason I studied with that man that was a homosexual. I was concerned about his soul. Matter of fact, met him up here at the building. This has been many years ago. Got a call from his partner that said, my partner is about to commit suicide and he wants to speak to you. And being a dumb young preacher, I just came up here and didn't tell anybody anything. And he may have well just decided that he didn't want to leave this world by himself and take me with him. I'm a little bit smarter than that now. I still want to study with those like that, but I'd go about it a different way. I studied with him, had compassion on him, making a distinction that he needs to hear the truth. But others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, that is teaching them to our members, especially whenever they are not acting in accordance with God's word and giving them warning. And a preacher is to do that, and each member of the congregation is to do that. And then he says, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And that shows that none of this is hate speech, but rather it's not hating the person, but what it is that they are doing because it is sin. Where we look in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10, the soul of all is loved by the Lord. And if we're true children of God, it doesn't matter what people do. We should love their soul and have the same desire that the Lord has for them. And John says there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And let me tell you, the reason I preach against these things is not because of hate, but rather it is because of love of souls. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin." You see, God shows us truly how to love. And that is, no matter what the person is doing, they need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth because they have a soul. But the actions of the sinful is not love or respected. We don't love or respect the actions of the sinful. Note the comments by this same apostle of love in 2 John verses 9 through 11. "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ," that is in God's Word, "does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine," that is the doctrine of Christ Jesus through the Word, "do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." There were churches that threw their arms around the people that marched yesterday. And in so doing, they rejected God's Word, joining in with the deceit of the people that were marching, and then in like manner became partakers with them in their evil deeds. We can teach, we are to love, we better be teaching, but we cannot join in giving our blessing over such things. We can't do that. Would you punch the enter button, please, sir? For some reason, I'm not... Am I locked up? Let me get there again. Well, sorry about that. And so these things that I'm speaking today, they're not hate speech. And so just as I said at the beginning, I want to come out. And I want you to come out. First of all, come out from the lies. The truth, immodesty is not daring or stunning, it is sin. It is sin. It's being put before us at all times. 1 Samuel 16 chapter and verse 7, God, in choosing His first king, says here, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's what we are to do also as children of God. We are to look at the heart, not the outward appearance. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." Did you notice whenever I brought up in Mosse, I placed men first and then women second after that? I'm going to tell you something that's going to surprise you. Because whenever I was younger, I didn't look the way that I look now. As a matter of fact, I could build muscle very, very easy when I was younger. And I got involved in building muscle, and my dad said, "You need to stop that. You need to stop that. You're going to start glorifying your body if you're not careful." And that's the man's part about that. When we look in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 19 through 20, here it is for both men and women. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Doesn't belong to us. Our body is given to us by God for His work, for what He would have us to do. 1 Timothy 2 verses 9 and 10, "Now, ladies, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing." And he's using a "not but" here, and so he's not saying women should not wear jewelry. He's not saying that. But here's the "but" part of that. "But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Don't flaunt your beauty. Flaunt the glory of God in your life. And that's what he's saying there. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. There is what we are to wear. Clothed with humility. Come out from the false doctrines, the religious sort, such as God nowhere condemned the pride movement. And you'll hear that today. And then also the secular sort, cancel culture, critical race theory, the wokeness movement, and so forth. The truth is that all those things that they lay against those that are children of God and say, what you do in not agreeing with us is to bring us down. You enslave us by not agreeing with the lifestyle that we want to live, that we identify, that we want. I'll tell you what God does through His Word doesn't diminish people, but rather it will raise them up, and that's what they don't recognize. And we see that when we look in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 9 through 11. He names many of these things that people are involved in today. And then he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. This is to a church in Corinth at the time. Such were some of you, but you have been washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Why? Because they obeyed God's will. They were sanctified. Romans 8 chapter verses 14 through 17, you talk about being risen up. There's not a greater passage than this. We're all God's children. We're all God's son. And not only that, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Do we understand what that means, joint heirs with Christ Jesus? The one that died for us on the cross, of which we were not worthy, He's made those that are true believers and obedient believers to be brothers with Christ Jesus. Is that diminishing someone, or is that raising them up? That raises them up. Come out from the evil influences. Paul says in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, verse 33 and 34, be not deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Oh no, 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 I've got friends and they're concerned about me. They're concerned about me. Here's what they're concerned about. Doing exactly what happened to Lot, who was vexed or oppressed by being around these sorts of people. And not only that, as we see in 2 Peter 2 and verse 3, those that are not godly, those that are not children of God, don't seek for your best interest, but rather to make merchandise of you. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, the reason being is they think it's strange whenever you don't agree with everything that they do and don't do everything they do. They think it's strange. Tell you what. Come out from the world. The truth is, all that is in the world is not from God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. When we look over in 2 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 14 through 18, come out from among the wicked. Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Therefore, verse 17, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. But only when we do His will and not man's will. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12 through 14, come out from the world. Come out from the world by being delivered being delivered out of the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the dear Son by obedience to God's will. That's what we are to do. The truth is, when God's word is followed, man is in the right, and there's true wokeness that takes place. There's true wokeness that takes place. Ephesians 5 verses 5 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means with awareness, but not only that, that circum part there in that word means 360 degrees, that we're aware of what's going on in the world. We're aware of what people would have us to do, the way that we are to talk, the way that we are to think, but we don't give in to that. We listen to God through His Word. So walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. And I'll tell you, we're living in times where it needs to be redeemed. When God's word is followed, scrutiny is sought after and greatly appreciated, not cancel culture. Look at what Jesus says in John 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Here's your earplugs. Put them in case there are those that have a difference of opinion with you. He says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that he may be done, that they may be done in God. That was the part of my sermon when I started. You disagree with me? Talk to me. If I'm wrong, I'm going to ask your forgiveness and ask repentance from my God. The reason being, I want to go to heaven. Do I want scrutiny? I ask you for it. I plead you for it. As a preacher of God's Word. When God's Word is followed, the matter of race is not an issue. My brethren, James 2 verses 1 and 9, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. When God's Word is followed, selfish pride is done away with. Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Those that will submit themselves to God. Proverbs 13 and verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Boy, we see that in the world today, don't we? With that strife that is there. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There will be a fall for those that do not heed God's Word. It may not be in this lifetime. But when time is no more, there will be a fall for those that do not heed God's Word, because they will stand in judgment before the great God of heaven that they have opposed and rebelled against all of their days. The truth is, when God's Word is followed, we have a friend. Remember, though, we talked about those that say, well, you know, I'll be a friend. No, Paul couldn't be right. Evil communications, evil companions corrupt good morals. No. But I'll tell you what, we have a friend. First of all, Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man who has friends must himself first of all be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And there's truth in that particular statement, but here's the real ultimate thought in connection with that. Because it ties together. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Brethren should lay down their lives for their brethren. I'm not talking about giving up your physical life, being put to death. But I'm talking about putting off things that maybe we want to do. And we lend and give support to our brethren in times of their need and in times of what they ask us to do. We lay down our lives. But here's the ultimate. As I said, Jesus is the one that said that there in John 15 chapter. John the 15th chapter. And Jesus did it. He went to the cross. You can be assured of this. In the chaos that is in the world today, we have a friend. And that friend is Christ Jesus. And I want you, if you would, go ahead and pull up the song, Brother Ethan. I want you to consider this morning. Have you bought into what the world is saying today? And all these things that we've looked at, have you bought into that? You know, if God's Word is followed, none of those issues that they bring up, and they cause those issues by choice, would exist. It just wouldn't mean a thing. And so if you're a child of God, you can follow His will and there is peace. But if you're not a child of God, there is no peace. Your soul is in jeopardy. And it may be that the Lord comes in our lifetime. We don't know, but we know this. Our life will end here upon this earth at some point in time, even as before the second coming. And the question is, are you prepared for that? If you're not a child of God, will you render obedience, not listening to the world and the wisdom of the world, but rather listening to the wisdom, the true wisdom that is from above? Will you by faith come to the Lord with a penitent attitude, submissive attitude, saying, I need the Lord's help, I'm going to make a turn. I'm going to change my life. And I'm going to serve my God. And then naming the name of Christ Jesus. Just like that Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8 chapter and verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, he wanted to be looked at by God. Go ahead and pull up the song. He wanted to be looked at by God on the inward, because he knew that's where God looks at him. And then we'd be baptized for the remission of your sins. No matter what the religious world says, It's in Scripture to be baptized for the remission of your sins. It is there. We see that in Mark 16, verse 16. We see it in Matthew 28, and verse 19. We see it in Acts 2, and verse 38. And I could just keep going on and on. Baptism for remission of sins. Then will you live a life that is not held up as a standard by the world, but is held up by the standard that comes from heaven, where you present your body a living sacrifice unto God and ready then for the work that God has assigned you to do as a child of God. Will you do that? And this morning, if you have done that, but you've not been working for the Lord and you've paid more attention to what the world says than what God says through His Word, repent. Come back and you have brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you. I'm asking you right at this time, will you come out? And I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. There's the fountain.